1 Samuel. We're going to read chapter 1 together. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. That's a mouthful, isn't it? And he had two wives. The one was named Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival, meaning Peninnah, also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" Typical male response. Typical male response. He didn't get it, did he? It's scriptures like this that convince me the Bible is inspired. It's so dead on. You get what I'm saying? So Hannah rose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman or a woman or daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Now, we're going to read more later, but if you read chapters 1 and 2 of 1 Samuel, much of chapters 1 and 2 are about Hannah praying. In chapter 1, we have a prayer of petition where she asks God for a child. And in chapter 2, we have a prayer of thanksgiving or a prayer of praise after God answers that prayer. I want to look at both of these prayers briefly today, but we'll read the second one when we get there. A couple observations about this first prayer, this prayer petition. By the way, if I were to entitle the sermon, I would simply call it Hannah, a mother of prayer, a mother of prayer. And before I forget, it's striking, if you read through the book of Samuel and you read through the life of Samuel, one thing you will find is how often prayer is talked about in relationship to Samuel. And I don't think that's a coincidence. His mother was a woman of prayer. He was born as a result of prayer. So first, the prayer petition that we see here in chapter 1. I want to make two observations about this prayer. We could make many, but I just want to make two. One, when Hannah prayed, it was an honest prayer. An honest prayer. I want you to notice this in verse 15. Hannah's praying, and she says, after Eli reproves her falsely. But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord." I think that is one of the best biblical definitions of prayer I've ever seen. I poured out my soul before the Lord. Not I've said my rote prayers, not I've said the form prayers or the perfunctory prayers. Rather, I poured my soul out to the Lord. In other words, Hannah was a woman whose faith was so strong that she could be totally honest with God. Totally honest. And quite frankly, I'm not sure that our prayers are real prayers until we're totally honest. You know what I'm saying? I've had conversations with people many times where we're talking about their spiritual life and their relationship with the Lord, and they'll be talking to me and they're troubled, and you know, they might be discouraged or they're stressed, and we'll be talking, and I'll say, you know, why don't we go ahead and pray? And then we'll pray, and then all of a sudden their voice changes. What they're saying changes. It's like they fall into a prayer mode. And the prayer mode is to say the right thing because I'm talking to God. Say the right thing. Not say what's on my heart. Not say what I'm really feeling, but say the right thing. Have you ever done that? I've done it. And so I'll be talking with people, and they'll be saying, I don't understand why God's doing this and why he's letting this trial into my life and why things are so hard. I'll say, well, let's pray. Lord, I thank you. But see, they're not thankful. And that's okay. My point is that there's often a disconnect when we go to God between what's really going on in our hearts and our address to him. True prayer is best defined by this text. It's simply pouring out the soul to God. Now, I was going to illustrate with pouring some things, but I figured I'd probably make a mess, so I decided not to. Right? But imagine. Use your imagination. We have two clear pictures. And in one picture, there's crystal clear water. And in another picture, there's kind of murky, muddy water. I think what we do is I think that we have this, and it's not a spoken thing, but we think, well, if my picture were really crystal clear, then I could pour it out for God to see. But since my picture is murky, since I've got doubt in my heart, or I've got anger in my heart, or I've got frustration in my heart, or I have questions, I can't really be honest with God. I can't pour my picture out to God. But look at Hannah. Hannah, it says, she in verse 10, it says, she was in bitterness of soul. It says, and she prayed to the Lord, and she wept in anguish. This woman was in distress. This woman wanted a child. She was barren. And the barrenness in itself to her was a source of pain. But in addition to that, her barrenness was being rubbed in her face, if you will, by her husband's other wife. And so she's being criticized. She's being attacked. She was in anguish. She's in bitterness. Yet she had such a relationship with God. She knew God in such a way that she could pour out her bitterness to God. She could pour out her anguish to God. And that's what prayer is. Amen? If there's not honesty in your prayer life, then there will never be intimacy in your prayer life. Sometimes I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I'm just being honest. This is what I really think. I might be wrong, but this is what I think. Lord, I'm just going to be honest. This is what I'm feeling, and I know these are bad feelings, but I'm going to tell you how I really feel. And I believe that God would rather have us be honest in prayer than to be formal in prayer, to be right in our prayer. Because when you get to the place in your walk with the Lord where you can be honest, that is the honesty. Let me just sum it up in an aphorism. Honesty is the place of intimacy. It's that simple. It's really that simple. Hannah knew God. And she knew him well enough that she knew that she could be utterly honest with him about the concerns of her soul. Ladies, some of you are carrying burdens, stresses, fears, anxieties, Some of those related to your motherhood itself, some of it related to your marriage, some of it related to friendship, some of it related to health issues. There's many things. And you carry these things and you carry these things. And they trouble you and they weigh you down and they cause you bitterness of soul. And what God is inviting you to do, God is inviting you to pour those things on the Lord. To pour them on the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter says to us, cast your care upon the Lord. Cast your care upon Him. Not just give Him a good ritual prayer, a good formal prayer, a good prayer that you're supposed to pray, but cast your care upon the Lord in honesty. Be honest with God. That's what true prayer is. Mothering is hard, amen? It's a hard job. I'm glad I'm a dad. It's a hard job. I'm telling you. And because it's such a hard job, mothers need to learn to be honest with the Lord, to cast their burdens on the Lord, because they carry many concerns. Concerns for their children, concerns for their husband, concerns for the home. They need to learn to cast these things on the Lord. Amen? Secondly, the second thing I want to talk about Hannah's petition is that it was earnest. First, it was honest. Secondly, it was earnest. What do I mean? Hannah was doing serious business here. Okay? This was real. This was real prayer. It was born of her need. It was born of her anguish. It was intense. It was real. You might even say it was raw prayer, if you will. And so Hannah says, she says to the Lord, Lord, I'm so serious about this request that I will make a vow. I will make a vow to you. In verse 11, it says, and she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Hannah was so earnest in her prayer that she was willing to make a vow that if God would hear her, if God would answer and give her a child, that she would take this child and she would give this child back to the Lord. That's serious. That's serious prayer. And as we read through the story, what we find out is that God heard Hannah's prayer. And God gave her a child. Well, once God gave her the child, guess what? Now we're going to see if Hannah is going to keep her vow, right? It's easy to make them. It's a whole other thing to keep them. So, verse 19. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up. For she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So they go back to the temple and Hannah does not go. And you could be thinking, oh no, Hannah's going to blow it. She made a vow to the Lord. They're going up to the temple. She's not going. She's not going to keep her vow. She says, no. I want to wean the child first, and then I will take him. Well, easy to say. Is she going to do it? We'll see. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you, verse 23. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. A couple years old. I don't know. We don't know for sure. But very young. Verse 25, then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I have also lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. So what Hannah did is she took Samuel to the temple when he was a young child and left him in the temple to live there. She lent him to the Lord. She dedicated him to God to be a servant of God, to be trained up by Eli and the priest. And when you look back in verse 1 of chapter 1, and it talks about the line of Elkanah, the reason these names are mentioned, because if you trace the line, what you find out is they are of the tribe of Levi. And that's important, because in order to be serving in the temple ministry, you had to be a Levite. So Samuel was a Levite. His mother dedicated him, and then she made a vow, and then she placed him as a young child to be trained in the ministry, if you will, in the temple. So Hannah makes a vow to the Lord that if the Lord will give her a child, she will give the child back to the Lord. Many of you moms have made similar vows to the Lord. As a matter of fact, it's very common that children in evangelical churches, children, if whether baptized as children or dedicated, parents make a vow to the Lord before his church to raise their children, if you will, in the ways of God. If you've been a member here at Liberty for a while and you've dedicated any of your children, then you have made a vow to the Lord. And here's what you vowed. You vow to seek, with the help of God's grace, to so live before your child that your child would see a picture of Christ and his church in a godly example of personal obedience. That's part of the vow you make. Secondly, you vow to pray for your child regularly, remembering that he is by nature a child of wrath and in need of regeneration and the sanctifying influences of the Holy Spirit in order to conform to the image of Christ. You vowed to pray. Thirdly, you vowed to provide for your children a Christian education, thoroughly instructing him or her in the whole counsel of God, both his promises and his commands, thereby instructing your child in the fear or reverence of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. You vowed to discipline your child according to the dictates of God's word and not according to the ways of the world. And finally, you vowed to labor by faith, trusting that God would fulfill his promises to you as an obedient parent. So if you've dedicated your child to the Lord, and especially if you've done so here, mom, you made a vow to God. You vowed to live before your child as a picture of Christ and his church. You vowed to pray for your child to be born again, for your child to be conformed to the image of Christ. You prayed to educate your children in the word of God and in the dictates of God. You vowed to discipline your children according to God's word and not the way of the world. You have made a vow to God to walk in faith as a parent and to do all of these things as an act of obedient faith. Hannah fulfilled her vow. Hannah fulfilled her vow. And let me encourage you, mom, to do the same. I know mothering is a difficult task. It can be a thankless task in the eyes of the world. Even, I think, sometimes in the eyes of the church. But the thing that we need to understand is that God, when we talk to him, he listens. And that's good. When we need something, right? We want God to listen. And he does. And when Hannah came to God with the need, God listened and he heard her prayer. He gave Hannah the desire of her heart. But he also listened when she made that vow. And it's sad to me, but we live in an age where words are cheap. Are they not? I mean, think about it. We live in a society and a time where companies are paid millions and billions of dollars to lie to us. That's what they do. To convince us we need things we don't need. To tell us it's the best when it's not. That it's new and improved when it really isn't. We're inundated with falsehood. We take it for granted. We no longer expect people to keep their word. Half the marriages in America break up. Many of them, because of blatant violations. Not all, but many of the marriage vows. Words are cheap now. But when we pray, God be thanked that he hears our prayers. God be thanked. Amen. So in conclusion, I wanted to get to the other part of the second prayer, but I think we won't do that this morning. Well, I'll just read it. Hannah offers her son back to the Lord in obedience to her vow. Then in chapter 2, she says this. She prays and says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile on my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there's none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God." Amen. "Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren have borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and he makes alive. That he brings down to the grave and he brings up. The Lord makes poor and he makes rich. He brings low and he lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Now that's a woman who knows how to pray. Amen? That's a woman who knows her God. Man, it's awesome. I could spend a lot of time talking about this, but we don't have time. I don't have time. I want to encourage the ladies here in their relationship with the Lord. Prayer is at the foundation of that. Prayer is at the foundation of knowing your God. But it's not just formal prayer. It must be honest prayer. It must be true prayer. And I understand with the demands of motherhood, sometimes you feel like you just can't get a moment alone. I would encourage the husbands to talk to their wives and dads, you need to help mom so mom gets a break and mom can take her Bible and go in a different room or a different place, and she can open her Bible and read, and she can pray and she can pour her soul out to God. Susanna Wesley had 17 children, and she just used to pull her, she took her apron and just pulled it over her head and prayed. Drastic, but it worked. So, to know your God the way Hannah knows her God here, you got to pray. You got to be a woman of prayer. As a matter of fact, you vowed to pray for your children. So I would encourage you to seek your God, to seek to know him, to seek to pray honestly and earnestly before him. Everything that you need, I'm just going to say this in close. I want you to meditate, if you would, on chapter 2. Everything you need as a mom can be found in your Savior. God has strength. God has wisdom. God can provide for you all that you need as a mother. But you have to draw upon Him. And as you learn to pour your soul out to Him, you pour your soul out, He pours Himself in. Let's have all the moms stand up. I'd like to pray a blessing on them. Father, we do come before You and our hearts rejoice in who You are. And we thank You, God, that You are a holy God. And we ask, dear God, that You would infuse Your holiness into these mothers. God, that they would be women of purity. And that through their ministry, they would raise children that are holy and devoted to You. We thank You, God, that You are a God of strength, that You are a rock. And Lord, we know that moms are often tired when they have young children and there's a lot of fatigue and a lot of wear. I pray, dear God, that when they draw near to You, You would empower them through Your Holy Spirit. Grant them power, God, the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ to fulfill their task of raising godly seed. And Lord, we thank You also that You are a God of knowledge, that You are a God of wisdom. And Lord, we know that there are many times that moms are confronted with decisions and they can be at times be perplexed. But God, we pray that You grant them supernatural wisdom through Your Spirit and through Your Word. And Lord, we thank You that You have privileged them, that You have honored them, God, by allowing them to bring forth the very image of God on the earth. I pray, Lord, that they would embrace their calling. They would glory in their God, the God that has graced them by calling them to be a mother. We ask that this day would be a blessed day for them, a day of rejoicing, a day of joy, a day of revelry because of what You have done for them. And we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.